right now. Say hello to Ian Neumeier of Find Some Flow. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Larry. Nice to speak with you again. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You've got something really exciting. The first accessible play locker is going to be installed at North Fayette Community Center. June 8th is the date. What is a play locker?
Well, our play locker is installed atop of a kind of an upcycled and repurposed department store dolly. It's built out of wood, and it's been built to ADA guidelines, which means that it's pretty much accessible in every way. We've made sure that people using wheelchairs, people with visual impairment and blindness, are able to access the locker, explore the contents of the locker, and of course, explore what's inside the locker, and that's the fun stuff. Inside the locker is all of our inclusive games, games that have been developed from the ground up to be engaging and integrative between folks with and without disabilities. On the outside of the locker will be awareness information. Really excited to have connected with an adaptive graphic novelist who came up with a really interesting way of teaching through drawings how to use American Sign Language. So on the outside of the locker, something that I'm really happy to have is a kind of a progressive comic strip that'll teach kiddos and parents at the playgrounds how to ask one another if they want to play together using American Sign Language. So we're hoping that we use this locker to start some conversations, get children and families perhaps exploring integrative play, and maybe get them comfortable, inviting play with somebody who has a disability who they may have otherwise potentially avoided or been afraid to play with. That's really the goal behind the locker.
What a great idea. And these are games that are not necessarily ones that you may think up on your own or develop on your own. These are very innovative games that you and colleagues have come up with that really invite people to connect with one another and, just use play as a means of enjoying each other's company and learning from each other.
Absolutely. We were really fortunate in Pittsburgh. There's so many adaptive recreation companies and groups and athletes that we had just such a rich pool of people to collaborate with and play test these games over the course of a few years. And that's the most fun part, because you can start with a context and you start with some equipment and you begin to play with that equipment. And, eventually a game might come out of it, but it takes time to make sure that that game is actually accessible to the greatest number of people possible. And not every game that we've developed is fully inclusive of everybody, but by and large, they're very inclusive.
Sure. And I think what's important, it is hard to address everything completely and comprehensively, but certainly the majority of games are, and not all people, regardless of ability, are going to enjoy every single game.
Absolutely.
Either. Some enjoy some more than others. Can you give an example? I know maybe of one or two games folks will find.
There are a few games that we play that use actually one set of equipment, and the set of equipment can be used in a number of different ways. Our flagship game is called Stonehenge. And Stonehenge is a game about collecting and building, wrecking and defending. You play in teams. There are three teams that are competing against one another to build two Stonehenge-shaped structures out of, approximately 37-inch tubes. And the game begins with a designated player, the retriever, racing out to the middle into this mess of tubes, collecting what we call the token piece. And that token piece is colored differently, it's textured differently than the others, and it's weighted in a different way, so it's easily recognizable to somebody who's playing with visual impairment or blindness. Once that piece is selected, that designates that team's color, and they can begin to collect their other pieces. Now, during that, there's a lot of opportunity to, screw the other team. You can throw their pieces away. You can hide their pieces from them. You can, of course, wreck what they're building. And the game kind of you know, commences at that point. It's a race to build, to stabilize your structure, to be on the lookout, to defend your structure against people who are traveling from camp to camp to wreck it over. And you defend by tagging the player. When a player is tagged, they have to return to their camp before attacking again. Now, we've had a really interesting opportunity to play this game with a group of players who included able-bodied folks and athletes, Paralympic athletes, blind folks, quadriplegic folks, and mobility chair users who were nonverbal, and all in the same game. And it was really interesting because this particular mobility chair user, she also had a startle response. And that means that loud noises, sudden changes in action and light can really make them anxious and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And Stonehenge is a fairly loud game because things are getting knocked over and people are trash talking. So she really wanted to play, though, and we assigned her the role of a medic, which is really interesting. She got to kind of peruse the outside perimeter of the game, and when you were tagged out while you were attempting to wreck somebody else's structure, you'd have to race over to the medic, and she would heal you and let you back into the game.
Ah.
She was having a lot of fun with it because she wouldn't let me back in. She wouldn't let me back in. She made me wait. So it was really fun to get, again, like a new player involved in the game and in a meaningful way. And that's something that these games are important because of. They allow integrative play without depending on power differentials or charity. In fact, in a few of these games, folks' impairments can actually be a little bit of a bonus for them in the gameplay. So we have another game, it's called Five Cone Blind Tag. And everybody plays blindfolded, unless they are blind. And there is an arena. Think of a box with an X in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can move along those lines to essentially play this tag game. Everybody is using an assistive guidance tool. We often use like kind of thick, heavy-duty pool noodles because they're soft but also rigid enough to help people guide themselves. And people now are playing with a visual impairment against other folks with visual impairment who actually have the advantage now. So it's really interesting to put able-bodied folks in a position of disadvantage against somebody with a disability. That's something that they really have never experienced before, most likely. And that's something that we really enjoy creating with these games. One of the favorite things to do with these games is to deliver them to groups, high schools, able-bodied students. We assign students with different impairments, put them in a wheelchair, blindfold them, put oven mitts on them to stimulate dexterity issues, put headphones in their ear with different speakers speaking to sort of stimulate.
Well, that could be a cognitive issue.
Yeah, exactly, audible obfuscation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have them design games from the perspective of their impairment. So they play the game. They then design new games from their impairment. We then have them explore things like, hey, tell us about your week. Tell us about your week from this new perspective of your impairment.
What a good
tell
idea.
Tell us about college experience. You know, tell us about a college visit. And what you have is, all of a sudden, these able-bodied kids who never even knew to ask many of these questions, advocating for each other because they deliver their little presentation to the group, and somebody else in the group will say, "Hey, don't forget, you know, you're gonna have to have your access van come there after your meeting." And it's really interesting to see groups of able-bodied students who never considered themselves advocates becoming advocates for one another. And it's just really fun. It's a really fun thing to do, and we do it all through gameplay, you know, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, this is great. Suddenly the definition of fair is expanded, and you can learn more by going to findsomeflow.org.
.com.
Thank you. findsomeflow.com. And congratulations, Ian.
Hey, thanks so much.
On the work in the accessible play locker at North Fayette Community Center, June 8th, the official opening. And keep in touch with letting us know what's going on.
Thank you so much for having me on. I hope you guys have a great morning.